When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are your, not anybody's, but your agony uncles. I'm Uncle Si.
And I'm your Uncle Dave. And remember, not only can you hear us on the podcast, you also watch us on YouTube. I mean, it's just talking heads, but you know, it's there. At least we're showing willing. Is that your bangles jangling?
Oh, yeah. It's me. Look, it's a rocks full of healthy rocks.
That's bollocks. It's really irritating. So, anyway. Just search for your Hairy Bikers Agony Uncles, and there we will be.
Once again, we're here to try and help you with life's little problems.
Well, yes. Now, remember, if you want to get in touch with the show, our email address is agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. That's agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. And thank you so much to Jackie, who has emailed in with an answer to a question that came up last week, which is why an ex-girlfriend named my Willy a pie wacket. Now, I've wondered this myself, really. Anyway, she says the pie wacket was a type of missile developed in the 1960s by the US Air Force. It was flat and round and rocket-powered. Whoa! Does this bear any resemblance to your Willy, Dave? Certainly. Well, back in the day pre-chemo, yes. It's quite flattering, really. Is that, to think that the pie wacket was a missile, it's far more enthusiastic than to think that the pie wacket was like a mini Frankfurter. Do you know what I mean? Or a little chipolata from Nuremberg.
I've got to tell you, that phrase has not left my mind since the last podcast. And every available opportunity, I go, hey, do you know what Dave's girlfriend used to call his Willy? Pie wacket.
Which is an interballistic continental missile.
Well, now I know that. Yeah. I'll add that to the end of my sentence. Yeah.
Whoa, what a payload, eh?
What a... no! Right. Oh, God. And we have a tweet from Alex as well, Dave, who asks, which of you came up with the idea for Marmite breadsticks? They're a taste sensation.
Well, we put Marmite in everything and see it works.
It does, huh?
We have Marmite scones, Marmite breadsticks. Oh, God.
Marmite and cheese scones.
Marmite scotch eggs.
I put Marmite in my spag bowl.
Yeah, it's good seasoning. Yeah, it's good seasoning. And it's vegetarian. So if you do a veggie one, it brings a meatiness to it, yeah? Dollop in your shepherd's pie.
Nice, could try that. You haven't done that.
Anyway, posing the problems today, it's the thin white duke, Mr. Mark Jeeves.
Hello. Nice to see you all. And for this particular podcast, me and Postash are actually sat next to each other.
Oh,
normally, we're all in different houses. So I'm looking forward to... we've got some quite challenging issues for you today. So let's see how we go.
I'm slightly frightened at this unholy alliance in the same room. It's not happening. Anyway.
Yeah, be afraid, man. Be afraid.
I'm in
the safer hands. I've got no pie thwacket here, so I'm all right with the pie thwacket. Although I don't know.
I think he calls his Sputnik, but then again, I don't know. And she's here, the Lady Penelope to our Parker. It's Posh Tash, of course. Hello, Posh.
Hello, hello. I've already made my entrance, I know. Thank you very much.
So... Simon, it's problem time. So would you hit that bow jangly jingle?
I'm going.
Hello, hairy bikers. Here is my request. I have got a problem that I must get off my chest. Won't you listen to my story like a hairy Jack and Ori? Because I heard your advice is the best.
In this episode of the Hairy Bikers Agony Uncles, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, you will need to slip on your comfiest caring shearing underwear to help these desperate listeners. We have stuffing the old bird. We have caring, not sharing. We have a housing dilemma. And today, in Confidential Corner, we have Is This Normal? But first, we're going to start with this one. This is called Stuffing the Old Bird. It comes from Tia, who says, Dear Uncle Si and Uncle Dave, I'm considering doing a rotisserie chicken on the barbecue, and what I would like to know is this. Is it a good idea to fill the cavity with a mixture of harissa paste with garlic, lemon and orange, all mixed in a mashed potato, sage and onion mix, and then truss the chicken before putting on the rotisserie? Or would you recommend something different? Your help would be brilliant. And that comes from Tia, who wrote to us on Facebook.
Well, it's all about the mashed potato.
Inside the chicken?
That's what Tia said.
Well, it's kind of like a stuffing, isn't it? But just like not breadcrumbs.
Yeah, but it's going to dribble out, isn't it, when it gets hot and that on the rotisserie? Any little gap, it'll leak.
Well, and this is why she's talking about trussing. And you are the master of trussing, because I have to say that your Peking duck is something to... It's a wonder of the modern world.
Yeah, but I use quite, stuff like lemons and fruit and ginger and spring onions in me ducks when I truss me duck.
Yeah. For those who don't know, what is trussing?
Tying it up so it doesn't leak.
Oh, right, OK. That's it, is it? I was expecting something magical.
Yeah, but mashed potato, I don't know. I've never heard that used as a stuffing before.
No, you neither know, have I, to be fair.
Do you remember in Scotland we used skirlies, which is like oatmeal, like a mealy stuffing? That's really nice. Because what happens is the oatmeal, it sucks in all the juices from the chicken, and that's a real good bonus. It's a bit like sage and onion stuffing. I think it's lovely. It flavours the meat, but it also takes the juices from the chicken. And Mrs. Beaton's sage and onion stuff, and we ripped that recipe off for years, haven't we?
Absolutely, for years. The thing is, though, I kind of get what she's getting at. I'm just not entirely sure whether the... Because she's gone for that kind of Middle Eastern kind of Levant vibe with her chicken.
With mashed potato.
But not with the... This is the thing I'm coming with, too. This is not the... I don't get the mash thing. I don't see how that could work. I mean, it will absorb some. It's going to have to be so dry, though, isn't it? And dense.
I thought the purpose of stuffing is a flavour, I know. But I thought it was to add, when you put a lemon in and things, it was to add juice and make the meat more tender and succulent rather than suck the juice out. Is that, am I not right? When you were saying you put something in, I thought you were meant to make it more succulent, yeah.
Well, with the skirly stuffing that Dave and I use, it's a healthy balance of absorption and evaporation, so it keeps them both because of the nature of the stuffing. But there's only a one-way street with potato, and that is absorb.
Exactly.
So I'm not entirely sure that would work.
What she could do that would be great, actually, because with the harissa and lemon and stuff that she's mentioned, is to stuff the chicken with couscous. And I've seen that done in Morocco.
Yes, that works.
That works really well, because the couscous itself takes the chicken fat and the juices. Mm. It also moisturises the chicken, but it really is a nice little bonus on your plate. Mm. That's good. But yeah, I love your stuff. I hate it when people say, always cook the stuffing on the side. What's the point? Because the stuffing's there for a reason. And the only trick is obviously you need to expand your cooking times. People get worried about serving raw poultry. So the thing is, if you've got so many minutes per 500 kilos, just weigh the bird, be it a turkey, a chicken or whatever, with the stuffing in and allow the extra cooking time. Just calculate your cooking time when your bird's stuffed.
Yeah, not before.
Oh, no. I see. I've definitely made that mistake before. Yeah. I didn't realise.
I have to say, though, 500 kilos, that's a dinosaur.
Oh, yeah, 500 grams.
That's a big bird.
I've heard of big birds, but that's a small planet.
Have you never cooked an ostrich?
No, yeah, an egg, dude. We've cooked an ostrich egg, yeah.
We made the world's biggest egg in soldiers, didn't we, in Namibia? We managed to get this ostrich egg, and we cut it with a hacksaw around the perimeter. Oh. And we broke it into, it was a paella pan, like a giant frying pan. And we got it out with the yolk intact. And we cooked it, and out of a baguette, we made the world's biggest soldiers. And we sat there in the Kalahari Desert with the world's biggest egg and soldiers.
A massive dip like that, was it?
That's exactly right. That's exactly what it was.
Sorry,
it was
epic. Not sure, I just did that.
You definitely did that, didn't I?
You're
talking about his Sputnik and his pie wagon again, aren't you? We've got back.
I haven't got over myself. In my current state of malaise, it's really cheered me up. But no, funny of like if you do a turkey, they can be the best part of 750 grams or a kilo of stuffing. You know, and I do two stuffings at either end, you know. And it really, I really like it, it really works.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, although a lot of people these days don't, stuffing's cooked separately.
Yeah,
I think there's that terminology. If someone says a roast chicken, you go roast chicken, roast potatoes. No one says roast chicken and mash. That's a sausage. Sausage and mash. So it's just a bit of a weird one to put a mashed potato inside a roast chicken that should have the potato part crispy and crunchy and a golden.
This is the problem with cuisine. Everything is available all of the time. And there is a mass plethora of confusion. I would agree. Mashed sausages.
Yeah, mash, exactly.
But having said that, a chicken dinner with mash and roast potatoes...
Yeah, that's the winner.
That's greedy.
That's a northern plate, I'll have you know.
That's winner-winner chicken dinner.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, but it's funny, we talked about Mrs. Beaton's sage onion stuffing. When we did our thing, Food Tour of Britain, we actually beat a chef, the competition. We were very honest about it. We used Mrs. Beaton's sage and onion stuffing recipe. And you blanch the onion first, you blanch the sage leaves, and it's the most wonderful stuffing mixture. Mind you, there's nothing wrong with Paxo. I grew up with it, you know.
I love
the
Paxo.
Smell of Paxo sage and onion on a Sunday. It's ephemeral. It's wonderful. Their parsley and thyme one with pork is good too.
And then you get into the argument between, because I like a ball. I like a stuffing ball. Let's be careful here. My mother does it.
I thought you meant like a bowl, like as a plate.
A ball.
Well, like, it's like sex,
a
isn't it?
Tiara.
Dave?
Yeah, sex is what middle class call comes in, isn't it? Yeah. Three sex piece.
No, I'm saying, you know, I like to have stuffing in a ball. My mother does it in an oven baked dish, and then does a fork across the top of it, and you have a slice, like a brownie slice of it. I like a ball of stuffing on the side.
Yeah.
Well, I do both. Because what I do is I stuff the bird, so I've got the stuff on the inside, and then I always do too much stuffing and then do that in balls.
Just like stuffing, don't you? Full stop. There's a lot of stuffing there.
When I was a kid, I used to prefer the stuffing to the actual dinner. Ooh. And stuffing in chicken sandwiches.
Oh yes, with salad cream.
Listen, honestly, look, Dave does chicken sandwiches and stuffing sandwiches. Like, I've never tasted anything like them. He is the master of sandwiches.
Oh, I'm coming over
it's,
for that.
Oh man, it's so good. Every time I come down, him and Lil send me off with a pack, and she'll go, make sure you eat it. I've got to ring them and go, I've eaten it. I got to the M25 and they're gone. You know, it's like...
you've always got to have white pepper on a chicken sandwich as well, I believe. We never have black pepper in the house. It's always white pepper. Yeah. But somehow it's sharper with the chicken breasts, you know.
It's earthier as well, isn't it? Anyway, yes, that you've opened a whole plethora of stuffingness.
You've heard of the Forsyte saga? This is the Force Meat saga.
Food! Makes everything better.
For our next problem, which is called caring, not sharing, we need one male and one female name, please. So Uncle Si, a male name, and Uncle Dave, a female name.
Alan.
And Lucy.
Alan and Lucy. This comes from Alan. And it's regarding Lucy. Who says, Dear Uncle Si and Uncle Dave, I've had the worst first date ever. But I really like her and don't know if I should move on to date number two. I met her online. I took her to a restaurant where we both ordered different meals. She had a steak with thick cut chips and I had the spaghetti dish. My meal was very nice, but I really liked the look of her chips. We were getting on really well, having a good laugh, being a bit flirty. So I leant over and pinched one of her chips. Well, nothing prepared me for the reaction. She went mad. She screamed across the table that she didn't order a meal to share it. It's hers. If I wanted some chips, I should have ordered them. She then stormed off into the ladies' loo and stayed there for about 15 minutes. When she came out, she carried on as if nothing had happened. And at the end of the date, even gave me a kiss, said we'd had a lovely evening and would I like to meet up with her next week. I'll be honest, I'm a bit nervous. Should I bother with a second date, says Alan.
Psycho!
Over to you.
No. Really simple. No.
Okay.
I'm going to go in because I have to say my husband and I, actually we were talking about it at the weekend, we had one of our biggest arguments over a sharing platter. Now, it all sounds lovely. We're at Chelsea Harbour Hotel, we're dating, and we had a seafood platter and going through it. And I was so nervous and so sort of, you know, in the early throes and in love that I just helped myself to the prawn and the salmon and the lobster leg, whatever I had. And he calculated that I'd taken his piece. His lobster piece. And I hadn't been calculating his or hers. I just thought we were sharing. But it turned out that I have married a man who does not share his food. He will not do sharing. And we had this argument in silence through the lobster and the prawns going, I can't believe you just did that. I can't believe... Anyway, I won't swear, but he swore through it. I swore through it. And I thought that was the end. But I married him and I never share a plate of food with them. Ever. Now, ever. And I... he, at least he's honest with it. He says, don't share, and he's nice with me. We don't argue again. So I feel like she's psycho. She went away and then came back again and was pretending to be nice.
15 minutes, man. That's the thing for me. 2 minutes to go, actually, I've overreacted and I'm sorry if she come back and said that. But, like, you know, I mean, God, dear, honestly, I'd be full of four calls if the times I've gone over and gone, hey, Dave, give us a bit of that, mate, will you? I like that better than you. Oh, it's nice, that. Look at that. Oh.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it doesn't irritate me.
I know that, dude.
Oh, no. No. Mrs. Myers is the same. She's terrible at nicking me chips. You know, just when you've got enough, just the right amount. And what I like to do is, if I've got my meal, I'll have enough of the rest of it to go with each chip. And what happens is it disturbs the whole mythology, because then I've got more left over in the other stuff and no chips to mop it up with.
I know, but you can always order some more. No. You know, I would order them for you.
You used to order an extra dinner. Let's have one for the table. You know, we'd end up with a portion of belly pork just because we could. Well, we do count now when we share.
Do we?
Do you? One each?
Yeah.
Not with sushi.
No. The gloves are off.
Do you think? Oh, I think sushi's the key one, because you can see the one you like. You want the maki or you want the Californian roll, and you don't want anyone to get it. So I think that's the one I would go. Would you mind if I had that one? Isn't it all about asking? It's being polite, isn't it? It's saying, could I have a chip, please? Could I have your sushi, please?
But he got lulled into a false sense of security and became over familiar too quickly. So actually,
He was probably flirting. It was probably sort of like a, I love you, you know, and all this.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
You're off my chips!
What are you doing?
I love chips, I do.
I do love them, and I like chunky ones. Don't ever touch me plate again. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah,
No, it's not worth it. No, it's not.
What happens if you're on a desert island and you've only got one chip left and it's on a plate and you're starving? I mean, you know, you've got to think of these things.
You'd have half each, Simon.
Yeah, well, not with her, you wouldn't. She'd just have
not with him, he's the one who nicked the chip.
Well, we need to give Alan some advice here, so we're going to go around the table. So should Alan continue on to date number two, Poshtash?
Past experience, I went for it, but I didn't have a psycho. At least he was public psycho. I would say no. She sounds scary. Don't do it.
Okay, Uncle Dave.
Oh, yeah, go out with her again, but get a biryani and watch her try and fight over a grain of rice.
Uncle Si.
No, run a mile.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
If you got problems, you'll be fine. Just drop the agony uncles a line.
Our next problem is called a housing dilemma, and it comes from Naomi, who says, Dear Uncle Si and Uncle Dave, my boyfriend, 31, and I, 29, have only been together 10 months, but from pretty early on in the relationship, we knew that things were very special between us, and I'm pretty sure that he is the one, and the one is in inverted commas. We get on with each other's family and friends. We've been on holiday a few times together. A few months ago, we decided we want to move in together. We've agreed that the summer will be the best time because I'm a school teacher and the school terms are always a bit chaotic. We're both living in house shares with random people who are not very tidy or considerate, and our housemates have done things like left the front door unlocked and are very messy. However, prices for renting a small flat plus bills are absolutely astronomical, double the price of a mortgage. It's got to the point where we're so despairing we're considering whether it might be best to wait until we've saved up enough money for a deposit and just buy a place together. So what should we do? Pay lots of money renting a flat, but at least experience living together first, or just take the plunge and buy while putting up with our irritating housemates for another year or so? Hope you can help. Naomi, over to you.
I think life's too short to live in misery. I'd just rent somewhere together and see how you get on and enjoy your life, because it's going to drive you bonkers if you're living with untidy, messy people. Also, you want to be a little unit, don't you? You don't want to be sharing everything, your chips included, with randoms who are going to, you know, leave the dirty socks in front of the telly.
But she's saying that you can't afford the rent because twice as much as a Which is rent?
I think you're saying she can afford to rent, but it's just going to cost so much. So should they wait and save, or should they rent now and enjoy?
Rent now and enjoy.
Yeah, I agree. I think life's too short, and you know, while you're saving up, your relationship goes pear shaped because you're waiting around for your annoying housemates. And you know what? Go for it. I'd say pay the rent. Yeah. Go and enjoy each other. And you might find out you're wrong or right for each other. Who knows? You know, and then you'll find through your rent or whatever else you're doing, you'll start saving anyway if you want to buy. I just think at the moment as well, there's a really sort of old-fashioned formulaic way of, you know, saving up, meet your first boyfriend, have your, you know, get your first house, have your first baby. It doesn't have to be that way anymore. You know, I just don't think it does. And I think COVID's proved that life's too short. So go for it. I'd go and move in, rent, enjoy, see where life takes you.
Yeah, there is a weird thing about property ownership in the UK, isn't there? There's a weird obsession with it. Well, other cultures, one, our property is too expensive.
Yeah,
it is. You know, full stop. It's stupid inflated, especially for first-time buyers or people who, you know, if your parents die and leave you loads of money, it kicks you off, well and good. But without that, it's hard. And, you know, and why is, you know, owning meant to be so much better than renting? Other cultures, renting's fine. There's respect between landlord and tenant, and it works. But to say, life's short. And I also think, as Tash was saying, as an interim, live together, have some fun together, see how you get on. You know, because you'll stay in and watch the telly and cuddle up if it's all lovely and save loads of money.
Also, I think with renting, there's a lot of stress taken. If you buy your own house, you've suddenly got to knock the wall down. You've got to paint it. Or, by the way, you know, come home in the evening and that's broken, fix it. It costs money again. Renting, you call up the landlord and say, light bulb's gone, come on over, please. And then you get more time together.
Theoretically.
Because the thing is that part of the problem that we have in the UK is there's unscrupulous landlords that do nothing. I mean, my sons have been in receipt of that, as I'm sure Dave's family has as well. All of our kids will eventually have that issue, theoretically that would be good, but because we don't have a rental culture and mindset. I mean, Germany, for instance, and Berlin, it's mostly rent, you know, and France as well, where Dave lives, you know, it's mostly, there's a lot of it. There's a culture of rent in the big cities, so. And there's legislation to support both tenant, fair legislation to both tenant and owner. So I don't know. I think definitely in the question of should I get on with my life? Absolutely, I'm with you guys.
They'll have more sex as well. They'll have a place to themselves.
Yeah, that which is always good. Isn't it? Well,
it's,
I mean,
it's a bonus, isn't it?
Slightly younger. Yeah, it is.
Aye. Rather, need some privacy. Privacy in the tie wacket.
Most important.
that's where they put on the bedroom door. Pie wacket privacy room.
I tell you as well, it's when you're a first time buyer. I know because my daughter and her partner, they're about to embark on their first property, and it's so funny when they're realising what the cost implications are. Yes, there's the cost of rent, but it's all the extras. It's like what? You know, they won't pay for that. What?
Why
does the broker want 900 quid? Well, because he's getting a cheaper mortgage, really. So in the long run, you'll say, well, why?
That's hilarious, isn't it?
Once again, round the table, it's a very clear message then, I think, is it? It's go and live together.
Yeah,
bin your scruffy mates, go and live together, go for it. Live your life.
And you get an opportunity to buy Sephora then and do your own cleaning. It's going to be great.
And nobody will steal your Marmite.
Exactly. I mean, you know.
Do you know what, Si? I've used my Sephora this week so much. Every time I use it, I think of you. So now you've become like disinfectant man for me. It's like...
Do you know what, though? I've got to say, right, I was sitting... And I mean, this is just the weird sort of mindset that I have. And I was just thinking, I'm going, could you imagine if you did a survey of actually where your Sephora bottle lives?
Oh.
You know, because how many people have, well, yeah, you'd say that though, but mine lives under the sink. Mm-hmm. How many people live it under the sink or in the bathroom or have several different varieties of the beautifully smelling stuff that then goes into bathrooms, bedrooms, could have bedrooms, you know, in your kitchen.
On the sink. I mean, have it accessible.
It's endless.
Mine's right there with the tap, the soap and the fairy liquid.
Yeah, but you're an obsessive cleaner.
Oh, God, I'm not. Oh, I'm honestly, no, I live in a pigsty.
Well, you're staff.
Yeah.
Well, if you'd like to write in and tell Uncle Si where you keep your Zaflora, it's agonyuncles at thehairybikers.co.uk.
Just saying.
I can imagine some of the answers we're going to get, Si. That's all.
it sounds like an old music hall song, doesn't it? Where dost thou keep the Zaflora, mother?
Well, if you're down, now don't get drunk. Just send an email to the Agony Uncles. It's time to head to Confidential Corner. And for this Confidential Corner, I need a lady's name. Poshtash, you haven't chosen today. So, lady's name, please. I know this always freaks you out because suddenly, you have to think of a lady's name.
Luana.
Nice one.
Luana.
Dear Luana, yeah. We're going down the deep south.
Sounds like a toilet roll holder.
We've all gone trailer trash, haven't we?
We have a bit,
yeah. Luana.
Hey, Luana. Dear Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Poshtash, is this normal is the question. My wife of 12 years, Luana, says she wanted to do one of those role play things to spice things up a bit. This was after a chat with her friend who's into that kind of thing. The idea was that she went out with this friend for a few drinks. She would then wait by a bus stop at an allotted time and I would pick her up but pretend I didn't know who she was. I would take her to a hotel nearby and have a night of, in her words, uncomplicated sex. What I didn't know was that she was actually going to her friend's house to have a Sandy from Greece style makeover. So when I pulled up at the bus stop, I was faced with someone that was the same shape as my wife, but there the similarity ended. She had a red wig on, she's normally blonde. She was wearing a very tight top and leather trousers with the highest heels I'd ever seen, and extraordinary amounts of makeup. She looked like Frankenfurter from the Rocky Horror Show.
No, dude, no, she's making an effort, man. Come on.
She was in full roleplay mode, so leaned in through the car window and started talking to me in a very odd accent before getting in the car. And it was at this point, unfortunately, I lost it. And I started laughing so much that I didn't see the female police officer knocking on my window.
Oh, no!
It took a while to convince her that I hadn't just picked up a lady of the night and that the woman next to me was my wife. But as you can imagine, by that time, the passion was slightly dead and the role-playing was over. And a very awkward few days followed. It hasn't been mentioned since, but I know it will be. What should I say to her? I didn't like the whole thing, but I certainly don't want to curtail her lusts. I'm confused about what to do with Luana. Over to you.
I think the fact you burst out laughing says a lot, really. You know, I think I would, in those circumstances, I'd just burst out laughing.
I would absolutely not know what to do with myself. I
such nice men, aren't they? Lovely.
I
think I would have laughed too, though. If it, that had been me dressed up and been caught, I think I'd have laughed. I mean, it's funny, really, isn't it? It's not like she really was doing anything.
Yeah, and that look, I think that's a deep commitment to one another. If you think it's going all a bit boring, there's kind of that way to look at it as well, isn't it? You know, it's like, I don't want you to go anywhere else. I want you. And like, let's do what we need to do just to keep this alive and fresh and lovely and have great sex.
He could have loved it. She might have thought he would have loved it. You know,
I tell you what, can you ask him? Tell us what bus stop is at, and I'll go and pick her up.
Yeah, but the thing is, one has to be realistic, you see, about yourself. She thought in her head she was Sandy from Greece, but she looked like Frankenfurter, which obviously was the transvestite from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Now, that's not going to turn you on, is it? It's like me saying to Lil, tonight, Lil, I am going to be Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to work, really. You know, one has realism in this thing. I mean, I once tried pole dancing on the far poster to try and titillate her. And it just made her laugh, really. And she got the camera phone out and because I disappeared quickly.
Yeah, well, I've told my story before about my sausage rolls. I thought I'd tried the sexy bit and it didn't work. He ended up laughing. And I've never forgiven him, admittedly, so, you know.
You dressed up as a sausage roll?
No, that's natural. That's every day. No, I tried to make an effort. No, that time I sort of decided to go all sexy for him and then I thought I'd put food from the door. I told the story in one of the episodes.
Yeah.
And I thought, I put out the wrong food. And then he was just so shocked when he found me in the bedroom trying to be seductive. And he just laughed and it ruined it for me. And I've never done it again.
Isn't that what, like, what do you call those shops? Anne Summers and all that sort of stuff. Isn't that why they're there? So you don't have...
Well, they're there to get the kit, I suppose. But you've got to have the confidence to put the kit on first.
I mean, you could just do the kit in your own house, you know, couldn't you? Instead of going out in the street.
Yeah, and get busted for soliciting.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it says it all, really.
Oh, look, man, just make an effort and try and get into the gig. What's wrong with compassion,
comfort, affection, you know, and a cup of tea and a custard cream afterwards? Do you know what I mean? Well, you have to dress up as the Gestapo to get your rocks off. It's all gone wrong.
You never complained before.
We just look so good in jack boots.
But I guess he didn't realise his wife's not going to be dressed like Sandy all the time anyway. So he obviously likes her without the Sandy outfit. He used to sit her down and say... I don't need you to be something else. I quite like picking you up, dressed like you, but maybe just not the costume. Yeah, that's all. It's a conversation again, isn't it? We always come back to this point in our podcast. Just sit down and talk to them.
Yeah, but she didn't look like Sandy. She looked like a transvestite from the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
But he can't say that, can he?
Of course he can.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, hold on. I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast because she's definitely going to know who they are. Do you know what I mean? It's definitely not Luan or whatever weird name you just picked. Look, I'd make the effort and just, you know, roll with it. And anyway, any girl in leather pants for me is a winner.
He dresses up. He shocks her and she realises how awful it is to see your husband dressed in the wrong outfit looking really unattractive. And maybe she won't do it again.
Well, maybe they should just try and avoid the Rocky Horror Picture Show kind of gig.
That's the thing.
A little bit more mainstream, you know.
Maybe they should go for the Rocky Horror look. Maybe that's the way to do it.
So what would you dress up as, Si, to seduce and titillate your partner?
Oh, wow. A flower pot man.
Yeah, but it's when you jump out and shout, little weed, or something that works.
Yeah, no, but you know what, might be a laugh. You see, I think the whole thing about... I think the cool thing about the crack, though, is, isn't it? You know what I mean? If you're going to dress up and have sex, look, the crack is, it's a laugh, isn't it? You know, and like, people take sex too seriously, I think. And, like, it's always good to have a laugh and a bit of a giggle in the middle, isn't it? And then, because you're intimate and it's that moment and it's just...
There's knowing when you're laughing with them and not laughing at them. That's the problem.
That's the problem. Yeah. Yes. That's
and your pie whacker goes down and it's all gone wrong. You don't need that, do you?
Your pie whacker doesn't even get off the launch pad, does it? You know what I mean?
I once dressed up for Lil in Miami. We were staying at the Nobu Hotel. We had a good year, Kingy. And I bought this imitation Versace. You know, it's that time where the shorts on the top, like a jumpsuit.
Yeah, sure.
So there I was on the balcony of the Noble Hotel in like, and I had a big cigar, my Versace jumpsuit, and I put their Miami Vice theme tune on. I'm gyrating on the balcony, giving it rock all. And it worked. Yeah.
I'm just going to highlight here, Dave, that, you know, you always go, no, what's wrong with a cup of tea and a custard cream? However, if I think we look back in these episodes, I believe you've dressed up as an elf, a cowboy, and now Miami Vice. I'm thinking you're not quite the custard cream man you say you are.
No, I do go that extra mile, Tash.
Oh, glad to hear it.
He does. Honestly, my best mate loves dressing up.
I'll get wrong
when he goes, well, why haven't you dressed up? Because I don't like it. And he'd go, well, you've got to dress up. Go and dress up. And I'm like, how am I?
I think the worst one I ever did. Well, at least I do it on the telly. Well, most of the time. Do you remember that one where we were in the Berber tribesmen, and that was a bit of a crackery. I dressed up as a belly dancer, and not a belly dancer, a belly dancer. We're in this bar in Marrakesh, and it was the belly dancers have a tray on the head, silver tray with lit candles. Right.
Oh, wow.
So what I did was I made myself like a woolly cap, and I glued the tray on so it looked like that, you know, but then the candles on. So. Anyway, I made myself tassels and everything, didn't I?
Nice. You know,
I tried to make him go this way, that way.
That's full hard work.
So I jumped up. This was in a Berber village way up in the Atlas Mountains. And I jumped on the table with my head on fire, with my tassels twirling and loads of lipstick on. And I've got to admit, when I saw the rushes to that, I thought, no, man, you can't get away with this. You know?
He did get away with it, and he actually earned about 400 DRAM. I'm just saying.
Yes, there were some little fingers took some notes down my thumb.
One of them was me. It worked for me, dude. That's all
no
I'm saying.
No more dressing up now. No. Actually, no, we're in the nip on the telly again last weekend.
Oh,
Japanese bathhouse, no. We did sumo last week, so it's 2 weeks running we've been in the nip.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm missing all this.
This was in the Japanese bathhouse. It was a rear view.
Oh, yeah, I've done those before. You know, I was pregnant in Japan and I can remember going in and I had my little daughter with me and going in and then realising that I had to get totally naked. But thankfully, pregnant tummies, you sort of get sort of, it was better. I felt like everything was covered up. I hadn't got to do that female, breathe it all in, try and walk seductively. I just sort of, my whale like went in, I just sunk into the water and just sat. But my daughter was like, wow. I was like, wow.
Pregnant in Japan, it sounds like a Deep Purple double album.
Yeah, it does.
If your life's in a mess, then the email address is theagonyuncles@thehairybikes.co.uk. Yeah.
Yes, and we'll have another episode of The Agony Uncles for you next week, but and only if you keep us filled up with your troubles and woes. And the way to do that is to go to agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. That's agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk.
Now remember, you can also see this podcast as well as hear it. Just search for The Hairy Bikers Agony Uncles on YouTube, and there we will be.
So Posh Tash, the Thin White Duke, and us have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.